I want to talk about the power of God, and specifically the gift of His power that He gives to us. This was a thought earlier in the week I'd been thinking about, and I guess I shared it a little bit in Wednesday night prayer meeting. It was just a blessing to me thinking about it, and then God just didn't let it die. So, and some of this, I guess I've already said, but we're going to go back to John, the first chapter, in the sixth verse, and pick up reading here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, and thank the Lord this morning, and the main thought that we have is given right here in these verses, is that there was a gift of the power of God given to us, given to men, given to a very specific group of men. There's a qualifier, there's a gateway, a door that we open up to the Lord in our life that allows him to offer us this gift of power. And we know the door is Jesus, but I want us to think about this morning the power we have to the ability, the choice we have, whether or not his power is going to work in our lives. The word here says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. And so the first thing for us to get a hold of this morning is the importance of receiving God into our life. And our minds may go to several different examples, but when we receive someone into our home, if we were to use that word and say it that way, it would mean that we weren't hiding behind a locked door and trying to pretend there was nobody in the house when they were knocking. That would not be receiving somebody into our home. It was quite the opposite, actually. That would not qualify for that. If we were to receive someone into our home, I think about one of our issues at time has been having to tell our children, okay, come back just a little bit. Let them get here. They're eager. They're outside. They're looking. They're watching. They're waiting. They're wanting to answer the door, be the first one to open the door up to them before they even have a chance to knock on the door. They want to be opening the door to them and welcoming them in the house with smiles and with joy in their hearts. And I would say that that is what receiving someone into your home would mean. And so now let's think about that with the Lord. When the Lord comes knocking, if I am hiding in the house, if I'm not wanting to hear what he has to say, if I'm not wanting to listen, well, that's not receiving him into my heart. That's hiding behind a door and pretending I'm not here. If I'm not wanting to hear. But if I'm eager and I realize God's coming and there's something he's going to deal with me about, there's an issue, there's something he's putting a finger on my life, Lord, there's a joy that can be in us over that. That is not something that has to be hidden from or we as humans are supposed to be scared of or refrain from. The flesh wants to draw back and convince us that it's just not human not to be that way, so to speak. Well, maybe it's not. God's got something better for us than that. We can receive with joy what he's trying to say to us and what he's trying to do in our life. We can have a heart that's eager, that says, God, why don't you come back and just tell me, like David wrote, you know, Lord, search me. See if they're not just search me and tell me how good I am. Lord, search me and tell me everything about myself. Let me know who I am. Let me see if there's anything that would hinder me in my walk with you. Anything at all, Lord. I don't want to allow there to be anything. And I recognize there are things that I eagerly give up to you. I eagerly give them up. And I also realize there are things that I kind of, there's my flesh kind of hopes you don't come calling for. But Lord, I want to have a heart that even those things that I want to kind of cling to, that I want to get to the place where I'm, Lord, would you take this? Could I give this to you? Is it something you want? Lord, you're not even knocking yet, but here I am outside the door saying, Lord, I see you. Would you like to have this? Would you like this in your life? That's how we receive the Lord. We're eager to hear what he has to say in our life. And if that's the way that we approach him, if that's the heart we have, well, we're an open door, literally. Just like our door is open to the guest that is coming, they don't have to worry about trying to get through the front and into the house somehow, because it's already open and there's three or four people there ready. If somehow it's not, they'll open it for them and welcome them in. Well, that's how we, if we're like that with the Lord, well, we've got an open path to the power of God working in our life and coming, because it's a gift he wants to give us, but we must receive him. And receiving him means something that there's some depth in that for us to consider this morning and search our hearts and say, Lord, am I receiving you? Or am I just dwelling in this house and kind of wondering if you're going to knock or not today? I want you to knock, Lord. I want you to visit. I want you to come. I want you to search my house, my heart, everything. I want the door to stay open for you and all. And so, Lord, help us to receive him, because we want to see his power working in our life. It is the thing that makes the difference in this life. As it says in the scriptures, there would be a people who would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof. This is the power. This is the power we have. It's the power of God working in our hearts. And it only does it if we're willing to receive him. He will not force. I believe the Lord knocks. Thank God that he does that, because sometimes we're distracted and we need a little knock on our door. But he's not going to force his way in the front. He's not going to bust down the door. You're going to have to open to him. And Lord, help us to have that heart of eagerness and joy that the God of heaven is coming to my house, my spiritual home, that he's coming to it. I want that door open. I don't even want him to have to knock. I want him just to be able to walk on in the front and say, okay, here's what I wanted to tell you about today. All right, so Lord, help us to receive him. And it says if we do, then he would give us power. It would give us power to become the sons of God. You know, that's who's going to live forever. And that's who's going to enjoy this blessing of heaven. But that's also who's going to reign in this life. Reigning, sweetly reigning. You know, I hadn't even thought about that song till now. But 201, I believe it is in our song. But it's been a little bit since we sang that one. Let me see if that's right.
200, sweetly reigning.
It might be, Dad. I can't remember for sure. You're right. It's 200. Do you triumph, oh, my brother, over all this world of sin? Any storm of tribulation, does your Jesus reign within? Shall we then by sin be humbled? Must we yield to any foe? No, by heaven's gift. We're reigning. This is what the burden the Lord has given us this morning. That there is power. There's a gift of power from God that he wants to give us. And it takes us being willing to open up and just receive it and let him work in our lives. No, by heaven's gift, we're reigning over all this world below. Oh, a grace and high promotion that in Jesus I should be raised from sin to royal honor, even reigning, Lord, with thee.
All this life is blissful sunshine. Earth is subject at our feet. Heaven pours its richest blessings round our throne of love complete. Now, there's more. Well, let's read the last verse. Then we'll sing and shout the story of the wondrous blood divine. Full salvation, glory, glory. I am reigning all the time. Reigning, sweetly reigning, reigning in this life. Far above this world of strife, in my blessed, loving Savior, I am reigning, sweetly reigning in this life. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that for the gift of your power in our lives. It is what makes the difference. It is what the difference is between a child of God and someone who is lost. It's this gift of power that God gives to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, but through our choice to willingly open the door for him. And yeah, he'll knock and we can open it then. If we get distracted and we hear him knocking, open it. But let's have a heart that the door's open to him and we see him coming and it's open and he doesn't even have to knock in our life. Oh, what a peaceful life we can live in the Lord if we have that kind of heart before him. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, we've been raised to a place of royalty in this life. You know, I think of the old song, Praise the Lord, that that said, the devil is a liar and he wants to make us think that we're paupers when he knows himself we're children of King. Children of the King. You know, we're not talking about some kind of worldly honor at all. There's nothing to that this morning. But there's really only one King in this whole entire universe. And his name is Jesus. His name is, there's only one God, and he is our Lord. All right? And so, to think that there's something better that we could hold on to when we have the gift of his power, that we might be his sons, that we might be royalty in this life. Lord, help us. I pray that God would help that lie of Satan would just be destroyed in our hearts. That somehow there's something worth that we're not royalty. That there's something worth more than what we've got to hold on in this life. Because we've got the greatest treasure in the earth. And it's worth opening that door to the Lord and letting him work. It's worth whatever it costs us in this life. All right? Because we're born not of anything of this world, but of God, of his purpose, of his will. And this is where the receiving and the willingness to allow him to work comes into play for a continuation of his power working in our lives. Because if we get some idea that what we're doing is we're receiving him for our own purposes, well, there's another hindrance and a block in our life. We're not receiving Christ for our purposes. We're receiving him for his will, for his purpose, for God's will in our life. Actually, as we receive Christ, we receive God's will into our life because that's who Christ was and that's who he is. He came to do the will of his Father, and that's what he's coming to do in our life. What he's coming to work on in our life is the will of his Father. And so we are born not of the will of flesh nor the will of man, but we're born of God. And his power, this word power here, the Greek word translated as power, means ability, privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom. And I know I shared that some on Wednesday night, but we just want to share it again in the message today. Ability, privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom. Which one of those did I have? In and of myself, to be a son of God. Not one single one. I didn't have a single one of these that somehow I had enough of to accomplish this in my life. But yet, God is willing to give me the power which takes in all of these things and gives me the competency, the ability, the force, the capacity, the privilege, and the freedom to be a child of God. Thank the Lord. I'm just asking the Lord to help me because it's a whole other message here that's just blowing up about the privilege of being a child of God. What a blessing it is to be that. There's no greater blessing in this life. It is
foolishness. It's like the verse that you had, Psalm 73, I think it is, where he talks about how he looked at all the things of the world and he was getting down looking at all they had. And then he went into the house of God and he realized how foolish he had been. How foolish he had been to think there was something worth more than what he had. And this morning, let us not be foolish. We have the greatest treasure on earth. To be a child of God, there is nothing greater. Thank the Lord for his blessings on our life. You know, his power can do mighty things. I was thinking about the story of the dry bones over, let's read that over in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, and we'll start with the first verse. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. And so as we read this story, it's paramount that we pull out of it the fact that this was God's work. He came to Ezekiel and he had Ezekiel speak some stuff and he put Ezekiel in a place and let him see some stuff. But from the beginning and throughout this, we will see that it was the hand of the Lord on Ezekiel, the power of God that caused to happen what happened. And I believe we can see that clearly. We probably already have got that out of this, but I want to make sure we see that. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. In other words, these bones had been dead for a long time. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. How many times is God going to come to us in our life and say, do you think you can win? Do you think you can win in this situation? And what I mean by that is, a child of God, do you think you can win? Oh, Lord, you know. Lord, my faith's not in me. It's not in anything that's happened so far in my life except for what you have done and what your ability is. Lord, you know. And so he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. In other words, now speak the word of God right here to these bones. Speak it to them. Okay? So this is a very spiritual application that he was giving him. Saying to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath, breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Spiritually speaking, our bones were very dry. And you know, before the Lord came into this world and made a sacrifice that we might be born again, there was many, many, many years of just spiritually there was no life, because he brought life. He's the one that brought it to us. But when it came time and the word of the Lord was spoken and the gospel of Christ went out, there came life to this world, as it alludes to. And we, once again, don't want to get into that too much, but how in a day there was a great number birthed in Christ that came back to life. Because in the day that Christ made that sacrifice, there were all the souls that had put their hope and faith in him that lived. All right? But it was because the gospel came in that day. The same gospel that's preached to us today. The same gospel that brings dry bones to life now in our life. that brings us alive, that has a power to do something that is truly beyond comprehension. So now, as I'm sitting in my house, why would I not want God to come in? Why would I not want to open the door to Him? Why would I not want Him? Because He has a power to do things beyond my comprehension. As I'm sitting trying to think about this situation or that situation, or maybe I'm struggling with a temptation or something that, whatever it may be, why would I not want God to come in? Because He has a power to do something that I could never manage on my own. He has a power to bring these dry bones to life, to put flesh upon them, and to give breath to the body that lies there. Not just to leave it lying there as a body, that's amazing, but to breathe into it and give it life, to come back to life again. And so when I invite God into my house and His power and life, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the dry bones of my life to be alive and to have life in them, that there's not death working in me, but life works in me. Thank the Lord. It says over in Romans, let's turn over Romans, the first chapter here. It says 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That story of the dry bones is about the gospel of Christ coming to this world. All right, "And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It's no longer me figuring out how to manage this situation, but it's me saying, There he is. He's outside. Before he even gets to my door, I'm going to open up this door and let him come in. And I'm going to listen to whatever he shows me in my life. As he teaches me, I'm going to do my best to follow it, because there's life in him and there is power in him. That's what it's about, living by faith. That's what he says. He says, no more are you going to accomplish this. And you never could anyways in your own works. But by the work of God in your life and by his power, it will be accomplished. The world, Satan's trying so hard to sell all kinds of different theories in the Christian world. And one is that this doesn't happen. That's a very pervasive. What are you talking about? We do our best. We open the door to God in our life, and there's a whole other element that can come into our life and can change who we are. As it says here, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. There's a purpose here. There's a will God has. There's something he's trying to accomplish. This is not just for demonstration, but this is that the righteousness of God would be accomplished in us who live by faith, who look to that door and open it to God in our life and willingly receive him, that his power may work. It will manifest his righteousness through us. It's why we must receive him, because it's going to tear down who we are. It's going to tear down all the things that elevate themselves against Christ in our life. It's going to pull down those strongholds. That's what the purpose of his power is. Me by nature, the way I'm created, there are strongholds that rise up against who Christ is in my life, and they must be taken down, and it takes the power of God. So therefore, I must receive him. I must be willing to listen. I must be willing to follow what he's teaching me in my life in order for his power to work. This power here, this Greek word means force, but specifically means a miraculous power. There's something that can accomplish past what we can do in our life. If we were left to ourselves, the righteousness of God would not be manifested in us. No one here, no matter how much or willing you are, the righteousness of God would not be manifested in our life if it were not for the power of God. But if we're willing to allow him, his miraculous power can come in and make changes in our life and help us to live the way that he wants us to live. Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter and the 12th verse. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Does God have any pleasure in sin? The Bible tells us over and over that he does not take pleasure in sin. God does not set this all up to come into our lives and to work that sin might be manifest through us. That's not what God did this for. All right? So if God is working to will and do in me of his good pleasure, you know what his good pleasure is? It's his righteousness being manifested in my life. I don't have to have death and destruction working in me. God has the ability to deliver me from those things if I'm willing to receive him and open up to him in my life. All right? Ephesians 2. Second chapter of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened, which right here, this is in italics. So it means they kind of inserted this here based on the rest of the scriptures. But we'll see as we read through these scriptures that, again, the word quickened is used. So we want to go ahead and talk about what quickened means. It means revitalized. It means to make alive. So he's saying here, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And you know, washed clean in the blood of Jesus, if you are stuck in your sins, then death will just come right back in and take over in your life again. There has to be a power to walk away from those things in our life. All right? So you, he hath quickened, hath brought back to life, who are dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world. There used to be no break from this. All right, you were just stuck living the way this world lives with no option. Okay, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our way of life, our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. He's brought us back to life with Christ. All right? The gospel of Christ. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Why am I? I think about Adam in the garden there, and just the picture of him hiding behind a bush because of what he had done in his life. I don't, and you know, even if I fall into sin, I don't want to hide from Christ. God, help me to have get a hold of this, that this is my deliverance. If somehow I make a mistake in my life and whatever it may happen, there's still deliverance in Christ. I don't want to hide behind a door and keep it locked. I want to receive him, because right there is the power to be delivered from this body of death, which is what this is. Do not let Satan fool us into thinking somehow we're going to manage to escape this and just live a good life and everything will be okay. This is a body of death. And if we do not have something called the power of God working in our life, then this body is going to die and the soul will die with it, and we will not live forever with Christ. Okay? There must be a power. Therefore, we have to be willing to open up and receive it into our life and allow it to work, that we might be delivered from this body of death. That in ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is what he's wanting to give us. This is why he's coming to your house, to give you the gift of his power to set you free. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. You are not going to keep your house clean on your own. It's not going to happen. You know what? It just doesn't, no matter how good you are at it, it's not going to be clean without the power of God. Your spiritual house is not going to be clean without the power of God. All right? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. He's coming to will and do of his good pleasure. Is his pleasure in sin? No, it is not. So therefore, there's something else he's coming to do in our life. There's a change he's coming to make. He's coming to my words are getting twisted up here. He's coming that his righteousness might be revealed. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, determined that we would walk in them. This is not him forcing something on us, but he determined before time there would be this people, that the way his salvation would come to this world would be there would be a people. He would open up the door to them through Christ Jesus, and then they would decide to receive that into their life, to receive God, to allow him to come in and take over. And these would be the people that were delivered. It's open to all.
Yes.
But the chosen are those who say, yes, Lord, I'll receive it in my life. I will receive it. That's what it means when it says he's ordained that we should walk in them. These are my people. They've received me in their life. Therefore, they receive the power to walk in my ways, to walk in good works. Who is good? There is none good but God. We're not going to sit there in that place and manage to jump in there somehow. It takes the power of God working in our lives. All right. As therefore we must receive him. So then 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. First Peter chapter 5, we'll pick up here in the end of verse 5 of the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So, humble. Submit yourselves. You know, well, that's what humility really is. Humbleness is put before God, is saying, Lord, I'm humbling myself. As a human, if I just stand here, then there's a resistance against God. In order for it to work, there will have to be a humbleness. Some of us are more humble than others, maybe. Some of us are more... we could say all these things. We could go across here and say we're this, we're that, and this. If God's going to work in our life, there's nobody here humble enough that they can just stand there and God just come on in and work. It takes all of us, every single one of us, for God to work in his life, has to, so to speak, put ourselves down in the dust before God and who he is and say, Lord, you take over. Nobody here is humble enough to just stand there and let God work. It takes us laying down our lives. The song says, stand still and watch God move. Humble ourselves before him. That's the message of that song, is that we have to step back. We have to get out of the way. We have to put ourselves out of the way of the Lord and let him move in our life. Every one of us has to make that action. Take that action very deliberately in our life for God to work.